We are changing the rules and the conversation around being a Gen X woman.
No longer are Gen X women going to blend in the background, wait to be promoted, or cringe when having to talk about our rates for our services.
No longer are we going to stay stagnant because we fear success means sacrifice.
We're building success and wealth on our terms.
Welcome to the Modern Gen X Woman podcast. We're your hosts, Jackie Gadeen
and Mimi Bishop,
business and career coaches for high-achieving Gen X women like you who want to make an impact, leave their mark, and increase their success and wealth.
Our mission is to make Generation X women the wealthiest female generation.
We're doing that by getting you to recognize your value and demand your worth.
Each week, we'll provide you with incredible insights and inspiration, powerful ideas, and award-winning strategies to accelerate your success as an entrepreneur or within your career.
Psst, all while still making your life magnificent.
Together, we're changing the world, one modern Gen X woman at a time. There's a phenomenon going on, a thirst for uncovering and understanding stories like that of Anna Delvey, the fake German heiress who scammed New York City's elite socialites, or Elizabeth Holmes, who wooed her way into the hearts and pockets of Palo Alto's tech leaders. Whether you're watching Inventing Anna on Netflix or reading Bad Blood, we can become sucked into the world of cons, scams, and conviction. One that makes us shiver from ickiness, but also makes us curious. In this episode, we're talking about why we're fascinated by these stories and what we can take from it and apply to our own lives in small doses. Jackie, you turned me on to Inventing Anna, and I became obsessed. I'm a boss.
I'm a boss. VIP is always better. I have to tell you the best thing about this show. I mean, I like the show, and we'll talk about this. I know you became obsessed. The best thing is I use that accent, even though I don't do it well. My husband does. Every time he's like, why are you so, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm building something here. Like, we'll just joke. It's become a phenomenon in our home, and it's hysterical.
It's hysterical. I am obsessed. I find myself YouTubing clips of her. Like, I just want to know more and more. I just ordered the book, My Friend Anna.
Oh, the new book that, yeah. The woman who was scammed out of $51,000.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I am just completely obsessed with her. And I also, I did read Bad Blood a couple of years ago when it first came out and was also very intrigued by it and just was like, I cannot believe this, that she got away with what she got away with. But Inventing Anna, I don't know if it's because I am a New Yorker and I love that life of glamour and she shopped at Bergdorf's. I was just obsessed.
Actually, that's not true. I was more obsessed. I am
with
more
Elizabeth?
With Elizabeth Holmes. And I have to tell you, you got me into, because you gave me the Bad Blood book. So
okay.
I got you into Inventing Anna. You got me into Bad Blood. And I do want to watch, there's a new series with Chloe Sevigny.
Sevigny.
I think. She plays
Elizabeth
Holmes. So it's a new one coming out. Because I did watch the other one, which was the documentary or something. Or I don't know. I did watch one about Elizabeth Holmes, but the book was so good I really didn't need to. But I'm curious about this other kind of, you know, dramatization. I think I would have liked Inventing Anna better if it was less dramatized and a little bit more factual. There was some of it that I was like, I just wanted it. I felt like there were no roots. Like, I wanted to get deeper into
the
psyche of
Anna. Well, yeah, like, you really want to understand what is it about her. Apparently, yeah. I was Googling her last night. Again, I'm so obsessed. And I think, so she was released from jail. Then she was picked up by ICE because
she's still there.
Well, she was supposed to be released, but apparently she refused to go to the airport, so she's still in ICE.
Yeah, she's still there.
But she is like free to go, but she's going to be deported back to Germany, and she refused to go to the airport.
This is what fascinates. We have to talk about that because that's what fascinates
me.
I read this
online, so I don't know if this.
No, I mean like that, but that arrogance is just fascinating to me. We'll get to that because I do want to kind of unpack some of this a little bit in some sequential order because we could talk about this all day. Why are we talking about this? Let's just start why we're like even doing an episode on this. as I think a big reason for me and why I wanted to kind of tackle this is because two things. One is I remember when Elizabeth Holmes was on the cover of Fortune, and I remember feeling really freaking jazzed. And jazzed because she had busted through the ceiling of tech. She was getting recognized. She was supposed to be doing all these great things. So I feel personally conned by her, not just from a distance.
Yeah.
Connected by that.
I can see myself seeing that seeing that cover. Yeah. I was in Penn Station.
At the newsstand.
At the newsstand. And I remember, I could see myself and I was like, wow. And the possibility that a woman could do this was so exciting and inspirational for me.
Yeah. And I think the other reason why I thought that this would be something just interesting to tackle is because there is a part of me when I watch and listen and read to these, you know, any of this, that I wish I had an ounce or maybe four of that confidence and conviction. Well, and what would be able to happen if I did.
That's exactly it. That's why we felt so compelled to do this episode. If women could just take a teeny, teeny bit of that confidence, what amazing things we could do. On the flip side, especially, I feel like Generation X women were always downplaying or second guessing or really downing what we can do and our confidence. And no, don't do that. No. You know, look at these women. Don't be a con artist or a jerk or just a sociopath. But think about just an ounce of that kind of confidence, what you could put in the world.
Yeah. So did you know, Mimi, that con artist comes from, con man comes from, it means confidence man?
No.
I didn't know that.
That is fascinating.
I didn't know it, and I shared that with my husband, and I finally stumped the Jeopardy king of the world with something he did not know.
And he's a Jeopardy king? I didn't know that.
He loves Jeopardy.
Me too.
And he's so freaking good.
He knows at it too.
Yeah, he knows stuff that I'm like, what? Where is that?
I didn't know that about Scott.
Every night.
I love Jeopardy.
Yeah. Oh, you guys should have a Jeopardy off.
Yeah.
That would be super fun.
Yeah, it would be really good. It depends on the category, but most...
I'm terrible at Jeopardy. I don't have that kind of trivia mind at all.
I love trivia.
It takes me too long to connect the dots.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, you know, one thing that I find really fascinating about this is that both of these women are entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. right? And I wonder if there's a little bit of, I don't know what the word is. I don't want to say craziness or just overconfidence. But when you're an entrepreneur and you're building something, there needs to be this level of just knowing that you can do something even though there's no evidence.
Yes.
And for both of them, I'm sure that that was a piece of it. I know for myself, when I was trying to build my company in the beginning, my accountant was like, you've got to go back to work. And I was like, no, I see the vision. I know this is going to happen, even though I had no evidence. And I really had to rely on that. People could have been like, you're really out of your mind.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wonder, like, where is the balance there where they had to really just dig into, I know I can do it. Did it just get away from them?
You know, it's interesting too, because I don't think it got away from them.
Okay.
I don't. I think that, and we'll talk a little bit further about this, but I do believe both of them had a very clear way that they wanted to con people, but differently. Okay. So I think the difference becomes like when you look at these two ladies, and you know, our society has become very obsessed with con artists and scammers, right? For everything from that Fyre festival, which was a Netflix Netflix series that was phenomenal, by the way, if you haven't seen it, the new Tindler Swindler, and then also the Varsity Blues, right? The one where they scam their way into, you know, USC. This is all coming up, and we have this fascination with it. But I think what happened with Anna and with Elizabeth are different, because they are scammers, but the way that they are personified, because they were attractive women, they almost got a I don't want to say a pass, but a kind of an empathy thrown at them that I don't think that either of them deserved. I don't think either of them deserve empathy at all. And I believe that both of them there's more empathy towards them than there are towards some other people. Which
now this makes me think, and we weren't even planning on talking about this, but I remember when Martha Stewart had to go to jail,
mm-hmm.
right? Now versus the guys on Wall Street,
yeah.
that during the 2008 crash, none of them, they all got off scot-free.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this woman, she gets sent to jail for however long. And now I don't know the real legality of it, but to me, from an outsider, it just seemed like she was harshly punished as an older woman.
Yes, I wonder if it was the celebrity part or the woman part or the age part or all
or
of that.
Or the success part.
Or the success part. Yeah, yeah, all of that.
I just it's wonder. Now, again, I don't, I'm not making an apples to apples comparison because
I
don't know
the
details
back then.
But it just
so
it strikes me as interesting. And it also strikes me, in this case, the difference. You have two young, beautiful women mm-hmm. versus an older woman. Just were they yeah. treated differently?
You know, I think about this too when I think about what, like, these women, did they really believe their hype or were they just out for the swindle, right? So Tindler Swindler was out for the swindle, right? He went out there and he met women and swindled money, you know, swindled them for money over and over again. The Fyre Festival may have started thinking he was going to build something. He made he allowed everyone to get to this island with God. Tents and boxed lunches after he spent, you know, $10,000 for a ticket. Like, this is just, so there's this part of me, it's like, they went out there to swindle, but did these women do that? And I have to tell you, I believe that Elizabeth Holmes never thought that her business was going to succeed. I don't believe
you don't
she
think
ever
so.
Thought it was,
okay.
No, because if she really wanted the business to succeed, why wouldn't she have put scientists, doctors, medical people on the board?
Her team, yeah.
Right? She didn't do any of that. Instead, what she did was she put a bunch of people with big names and financial background in tech, as opposed, so she kind of went after it like, this is a tech company, not a healthcare company, and had no healthcare people on her board. So that's a miss. And she purposely made sure that each of the divisions and teams worked in separate places and were not allowed to communicate with each other so that nobody
yes.
could uncover or discover the bullshit that was running through.
And
there.
Then she would, and Anna does this too, when anyone would question, she would just yep. get in their face.
Yes.
Right? So anyone would question, you know, Elizabeth, she would berate them. And, you know, for these are grown men in a high profile tech company, a lot of them would either back down. It was their livelihood at stake.
Right.
And Anna also, even when people would question her, she would go into, I'm building, do the accent.
Oh, well, she wouldn't say, yeah. I'm building something here. She would.
I don't
would.
Have time for this. I'm
but,
building.
Or she would say, would you ask a man this question?
Yes.
Would you treat a man this? Like, she would throw it in, you know,
right.
if I was older, if I was a man. So she would, she knew exactly how to manipulate. And she did that because she didn't want people asking the real hard questions.
Sure.
And that to me means that they are out. They didn't believe that they were ever going to do something great. It was more about the power and the influence and the position and the, I don't want to say, look, I'm not a doctor. I don't know if it's, you know, what their
situation.
Psychological
yeah. profile
mental
is.
Profile is. And we could talk about that in a bit. But I do believe that it was more about being perceived as someone important, right, versus building something, really building something that mattered. And that's sad to me. And I don't know if anyone, we didn't talk about this, I don't know if anyone started watching Bad Vegan.
No,
again,
I have not. Is it the same situation?
Same kind
about?
Of situation. The woman who started the food, I think it was like called Raw Food. It was a restaurant in the city, number one raw food restaurant in the world. Celebrities going in there and how she got involved with this man who swindled her and then she swindled everybody else, but she's not innocent. There's no way she's innocent in this. And again, this thing that they do, they meaning society or the filmmakers, that we want to give empathy to these people, like, just it bothers me.
Well, it's also
it bothers
goes,
me.
It's also the society part is interesting because as a whole, like, we love to raise people up
right.
and then we love to pull them down.
Yes.
And that has always been the case,
always.
Right? I think with social media, it's even more spectacular
mm-hmm.
when it happens.
But why are we showing empathy? Nobody showed empathy to the guy who did the Fyre Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, if you watched Inventing Anna, I'm not going to give anything away if you haven't watched it, but there is a scene where her friend goes to Morocco with her, and Anna swindles her out of $51,000 because she couldn't, her credit card wasn't working, she wasn't, all this stuff. So the friend put the credit card down and paid, and it was a work credit card, all of this stuff. But the way they showed the film and the way they actually, they sided with Anna versus this woman. And that made me, pissed me off, to be honest, because it felt like, so basically because this woman, they were friends and Anna was quote unquote paying for everything all along because she had all of this money and this woman couldn't afford it. She was supposed to pay. It just, the whole thing feels weird. So that empathy piece bothers me because I think if you're going to play in the real world and you're going to con someone and you should be treated like a man.
Right.
And I don't feel like she was treated like a man. I feel like she got, I think Anna got off a lot softer than somebody else, although the fire guy didn't get reprimanded badly either. But it's just interesting to me.
It's interesting. And maybe this is naive of me, I would hope that really their initial intentions were to create something big or create an amazing life. Like Anna came here because she wanted to create something, you know, an amazing life for herself. And she wanted to reinvent herself. I would hope that it's just something that just got carried away versus the intention was like, you know, malintent right from the get-go.
Maybe they both thought they were building something, but Anna had nothing to build from. So instead of working like the rest of us schmucks in the world who come here and work from the bottom up to try to build something,
right,
she just finagled and conned. So there's no pass. I don't give her a pass. I don't care what her vision was.
What about the woman that comes here? And I don't know. I'm just saying, like, a person that comes here and intentionally marries rich. Is that being a con?
It depends on if she's really in love with him or not.
Maybe not.
Then yes.
I guess you are a con artist, right?
Well, I think it's, I don't know if it's a con artist. I don't know if it's a con, right? Confidence artist. That's very, like, a con artist is someone who, she's a con artist if she marries him, kills him, takes his money. She's a con artist if she goes in there, marries him, and divorces him and gets half immediately, right? But if she goes in there and there's some mutual, I don't know, mutual relationship there.
Well, that's
there,
different, right.
Maybe that's just her choice on how to marry. Like, I'm not marrying for love, I'm married for money. But there is
security
a give and,
respect.
And take
right.
that happens in the relationship. I think that's part of it, right? There was no give and take with what Anna did to the hotel. She took. There was no give. She gave to that one woman. She gave $100 for the short amount of time she had cash. But there was no give, right? It was always taking. The woman who brought her into her home, and she just took, right? And so, to me, that's a con artist. Someone who just takes is a con artist. Elizabeth Holmes, she just took the financing. She didn't give anything back. She didn't give a product into the world, wasn't Rite Aid, or was it Walgreens?
It was Walgreens, I think.
Didn't give that product back at all. She swindled, swindled that.
It
I
just
mean, how
amazed
crazy
me.
Is that?
Yeah. The stuff that they were able to swindle also was just amazing. I don't know how you put your head down on the pillow at night knowing that this is, you know, that you're doing this or being intent. I don't know. I can't wrap my mind around the intentional part of it because I just can't wrap my mind around it. I would never purposely.
Let's talk about that though. Let's shift this a little, Mimi, into like, where is the line between intentional and faking it until you make it? Right? How many times have we heard as women, I feel like an imposter. Just don't worry about it. Fake it till you make it. So, and I'm not giving anyone a pass. It's an open dialogue. Like, what is faking it till you make it? Was she faking being an heiress until she made millions? Is that okay?
No, yeah. So to me, that's, in my mind, fake it till you make it is, I'm building this foundation and I'm trying to get financing and this is what it will be and having your projections and I'm really confident that this is going to work and it's going to do X, Y, and Z. That's faking it till you make it.
Well, how is that different from what you did?
Well, she said she was an heiress and she had all this money to back it up.
Okay.
That didn't exist.
Okay.
To me, so that's the deliberate part of the whole thing.
Okay.
That's where there's
How would she have gotten the money to build if she didn't fake it? I don't know. I'm not.
Yeah,
it's just an interesting concept because we've been told fake a teammate.
Right, but that to me that's a lie. Yeah. That's a blatant lie. Yeah. No, there is no $16 billion in a or a million or whatever it was in it. That's to me not even stretching the truth or trying to. You know, listen, perception is a lot in business, especially. But that to me that's a lie. You don't have. You don't even have anything. You're not an heiress.
Right. So, right. It's just because we're told that it was just something I wanted to bring up.
Yeah. So that to me, there's a very clear, and that's what I can't wrap my mind around, being able to comfortably lie about that.
Yeah. Right. And then take people's money.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then take the $200,000. And that's the other thing. She took that $200,000 and just
blew it. What was she going to do then? Be like, surprise, I'm not an heiress, but I'm self-made. I don't know. I don't know what her thinking was.
She thought she was going to get the financing and build this business.
And like, it would just never come to life that she was an heiress.
Yeah. And I think it was like, at some point when the jig is up, why do you keep pretending?
Right.
Like, there was the other, this is where I don't know her diagnosis. I don't know Elizabeth Holmes' diagnosis. I think that there's been lots of speculation around narcissism, delusions of grandeur, and also sociopath. So I don't know, but I do know that there is some sort of something that isn't right if you are being exposed and you still think you're smarter than everyone else. There has to be a layer of narcissism in both of them without being a therapist, right? Or a licensed MD of any, right? But there has to be something because a narcissist is someone who believes that they can do it all, right? That they are superior beings,
right?
That they are above everyone else, and there is an air in both of these.
And
women.
There's a disconnect of reality.
Disconnect in reality, absolutely.
Right? Like there's just this disconnect of reality. I think also Anna, again, like I just saw this headline. I think that something she just opened an art show or something. I'm not really sure. So it's like, I don't know. It's just, it'll be very interesting to see how these things
play out. She should not be allowed to open an art show here. She should not be able to do anything in our country. So why is someone who has been, who stole $200,000 still here? I'm sorry. Why, you know, Joe Giudice, whoever that guy is.
I thought about that too, right?
He has a family.
And wasn't he an American? Dual citizen? Or with just Italian citizenship?
I thought he had dual citizenship, but he was Italian. No, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know, but yeah, Joe Giudice. Right. I thought of him too.
Right. So he gets deported.
He gets booted out. He leaves his four girls here.
Right.
He can't come back to the country.
And she's still here.
And he's married to an American. Yep. And I think he might have dual citizenship, but he's married to an American. They
were
married for 20, 25 years. He gets booted out, but she
is here and having an art show?
And having a hissy fit and won't go to the airport. Get your ass on the plane and go back home, I guess. You know,
sorry, we're getting passionate about it, but I do, but it's just an interesting conversation to be had. The one thing I wanted to drop in here too is this idea that both of these women had to, well, especially Elizabeth Holmes, had to really put, she kind of found her male energy and like brought it up, right? She was emulating Steve Jobs. All black, very stoic, very masculine voice that they've actually
said wasn't real.
So she put on this masculine energy, and it's fascinating to me because she was this masculine energy and Anna was really almost overly feminine energy. Well, feminine external, out like the way she dressed, but still a masculine energy, cold, stoic, not readable, very, you know, energy that it's just very interesting to see how both of those played out, but how both of them wanted to and were trying to play in a male-dominated world and using their beauty as a con to help them do that. I mean, when Anna made herself change, you know, made her hair from blonde to darker in order to be seen as in order to be seen as someone that should be taken seriously, just shows that there is so many other things that go on here when we are women in business or in career, and how many layers there are in that confidence game, in how we show up and how we're perceived and how we have to play a game. And we all have to play a game. And, You know, but they played a game that was that they wrote the rules and broke the rules.
They broke the rules in all the wrong ways. I mean, if you are one thing in this whole thing that's very black and white for me is that when you are intentionally hurting people,
yeah,
and that's like game over.
Yeah,
game over, and stealing from people, game over, and just blatantly lying about something that just doesn't exist, or people are telling you your product does not work. Especially with the product that she was creating. It was, you know, going to help people, it was going to diagnose their diabetes, or was there with their blood?
No, it was actually a drop of blood was supposed to be able to diagnose
if you had
like
cancer,
20
right? Yeah.
different things, yeah. including cancer, which wasn't.
Right? I mean, how magnificent if this worked, but it didn't. So imagine if this
It was impossible. Yeah. Every scientist said there's no way that that little bit of blood could actually...
Right? Imagine if this thing did somehow get out in the world, and she was like conning
people
with their health.
It did. It got in the world, and people were having wrong test results and told they didn't have this when they did.
Oh, so it did get... I'm trying to remember the story of how far it got out. Okay.
Yeah, it was out into Walgreens. I don't even know if it was Walgreens, but whatever.
It was
I thought it was Walgreens, but
No, I feel like it was either Walgreens. It was one of the really big retailers. And just from my background, we used to work with retailers in my corporate company. I know how difficult it is to get into these companies and to have them support things. They were remodeling their stores to accommodate her. I just was blown away by that.
Yeah, it's just fascinating. And so this episode was kind of a rant and a rave, right?
But
it's also about... The other side of this is, you know, is there a part of women who are this confident that we can take, right? If we had an ounce of that confidence, we would have so much less self-doubt that we would be able to go after things bigger, be bolder in our asks, right? Believe in what we can deliver with no uncertain terms and make the calls to these people that a lot of times we don't want to make the calls to because we're uncomfortable, we feel insecure, we feel... So how do you pull out that just ounce
a piece of it of how they went after these big companies
and believed in themselves, regardless
themselves.
If it was delusions of grandeur or narcissism or all that, but they did believe in themselves and what they represented. And there is something in that. If you are an entrepreneur, if you are building a business, how do you kind of tap into that and pull it out a little bit so that you have
the conviction
of your worthiness and the value that you deliver? That's where it all comes from. And if you don't, and if you're missing any of that, we are launching our next cohort for Worth Value Wealth starting on May 2nd. I am telling you that the transformation over 8 weeks has been incredible for our other cohorts. It is one of the ways that you can step into exactly who you want to be so that you can get exactly what you need without faking it till you make it, right? Without lying, but truly understanding your zone of genius and your value and how it delivers for a company or for your business. So we are currently taking applications. So come on over and apply www.moderngenxwoman.com/apply-wealth. We have limited seats. We already have a couple of spots filled. So come on over and join us and apply. No obligation, but we want to make sure that we collect and collaborate with the right cohort for May. So we'd love to
come
have
on
you
over.
In. Yeah. All right, ladies. Thank you for indulging us. We need to leave you because we're going to build
something
here.
We're bosses. We're building something.
We're building something here. And we want you to be building something there. So whatever you need to do, whatever you're building in your career or your business, any help that you need, we are here by your side to make you the most magical, magnificent, modern Gen X woman you can be. So until next week.
Cheers to your magnificence.
Modern Gen X Woman is the podcast created with you in mind. If you're inspired by this episode, please leave us a review. It's so important. Look, we know it's not easy for you to stop and go over and leave a review, but it is so appreciated by Mimi and myself. and it really helps other amazing Gen X women like you find us so that they too can become the modern Gen X women.